This particular story of the man with the demons within his body has always touched me in ways that I can't quite understand. But I think about him as a man who at one time didn't have demons. A man who knew who he was in his spirit, in his life, and he lived amongst the people as an ordinary person. And then the demons came upon him, and he was not what he used to be. And I think about how he must have been tormented day and night by these demons, and how his life was no longer in his control, but in the control of whatever was possessing him. And he was doing things so wild and crazy that he stripped himself of his clothes, that people had to shackle him up, that he was bound, and the demons were so strong that they broke those bonds, and off he went, so that when Jesus found him, there he was in a cemetery, naked and disheveled, and certainly not who he thought he was to be. But the healing power of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit sent those demons out of that man. And we have the thing about the swines and all of that. And I promise they're not at Plank Chapel's barbecue. Those aren't the pigs we eat. But the image that always strikes me next is when the villagers come out to see what happened. There, sitting at the feet of Jesus, was this man. This man that for years they had been watching him be tormented. For years they've had to probably chase him down the road and shackle him up and treat him in ways they never really wanted to treat this man. This was a man of their community, a man they probably loved dearly, a man who was not himself. And to protect himself and to protect their community, they had to do things they did not want to do. But there he was. Probably with his hair nicely groomed and his clothes, no wrinkles and no stains. And he's sitting there, calm, and the man they remember. But it's their reaction that always gets me. They send Jesus away. There in their midst is evidence of the power that this man holds. And they send him away because they're afraid. And he goes back in his boat and goes back over to the Galilee Sea to the Jewish community. But the man, wouldn't you want to go with Jesus after he'd done that to you? Wouldn't you want to go with him? And Jesus says, no, you can't go. You stay here. So I can't help but think he'd be going, stay here. Are they going to shackle me again? What are they going to do to me next? But he tells them something very specific. He says, you stay here and you proclaim to these people what has happened to you. Jesus was not effective there except to this one man. They were so afraid of the power of Jesus Christ, they wanted him gone. So you sort of kind of wonder what sort of demons were in all of them. That they were afraid they too might live these new lives. They wanted him gone. And when this new disciple wanted to go with him, he said no. This is what I think. He said no. Because the man of the community, the man who everyone knew and loved, the man that they would remember who it was that had to chain him that last time, who it was that had to put him in a fence the last time, who it was who had to clean the drool off of his face or clean the mud off of his body, that man could witness to them better than any miracle Jesus could do. That man could say to them, this is my story. You remember me on that day when I broke into your house and you had to restrain me. You remember that day? Well, look at me today. I am this man today, not what I used to be, but who I am today because of the power and love of God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The demons are gone because of that man. That is a powerful, powerful witness to God's saving grace. Imagine what we can do if we share our story of salvation with those who need to hear it. Because Christ ascended into heaven, and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to, as the kids said, Jesus gives us power. Jesus gives us power to proclaim his message. But his message is best proclaimed when we share our story, when we live out the story that God has given us. But our story probably begins somewhere not quite as drastic as the man with the demons. But the story begins somewhere, when we were living lives that weren't quite aligned with God. Our story begins somewhere when we realized that maybe this life I'm currently living isn't quite what I was created to be. Our story begins somewhere when we were finding ourselves in our own muck and mire, whatever it might look like. Whatever demon had possession of our soul, and that we knew that we weren't quite right with God, quite right with ourselves, and we knew we weren't right with the world. Well, maybe there was some part of the world we were very right with, but the world that God created, not so much. And it was at that moment, what we call justifying moment, when Christ justified us, because we came to the foot of the cross. We knelt at the foot of the cross and gave to God all of our demons and said, God, take these from me. Love me, forgive me. And this is the place that I love so much, because God takes it. God takes it, and we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And when we rise from that space, when we rise, we are a new creation. We are not what we used to be. We are who we are going to become in Christ. And the journey then is that continual coming to the foot of the cross. To once again say, well, Lord, I messed up again. And there at the cross, God says, I know. I know you did. I love you. Go and sin no more. And that journey continually perfects us, doesn't it? It perfects us in love. And as we get perfected in love, we begin to tell that story. We tell the story of when we first met Jesus. We tell the story of how Jesus continually perfects us. We tell the story that we're a work in progress. We can't even get the doxology right in the bulletin. We are a work in progress. Eventually, according to John Wesley, that we can be perfected in love in this lifetime. But his story, the Gerasene demonic story, he doesn't even have a name. And I think he doesn't have a name because we can put our names there at some point in our lives. That we can say, this is who I was. I was crazy. I was doing this. I was doing that. I was doing the things that my dad and mom told me never to do. Okay, I was only 12. No, just teasing. But, you know, those places of disobedience to God, disobedience to our parents, disobedience to whoever. Those are places that at some point we have to confess to God. And the beauty of the confession is when we confess to God, God takes our sin and wipes it away so that we can start the next day, the next moment, the next breath as a new creation in God. But it's a very interesting thing in the midst of this particular story. I want us to move back from where we might be in our own hearts, thinking about our own places, our own struggles, our own redemptive story, to this man's story. That when Jesus came upon him, the ones that recognized his power were the demons, because they're the ones that say, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Evil knows when it's confronted by good. Evil knows when God is in its presence. Evil knows when it is in trouble. And these demons knew they were in trouble. They knew that this one had power not only over the seas, because if you open your scriptures to that particular section, he just calmed the seas in to get there. So he had power over the seas. He has power over demons. He has power over creation. He has power over our lives. And they knew it. And I really think the people of Gerasene knew it too. And that's why they didn't want him there. Because the other piece about being human is the choice is always ours. We can say yes to God or we can say no to God. God will love us in the yes, will still love us in the no, but the judgment will happen regardless of what our answer is. I know many who look like the Gerasene demonic. And T. James was my first witness of what it looks like, because T. James was a pedophile who had been abused when he was a young boy, when he was about 3 or 4 years old. So he learned who he should be through those male adults in his life. And I met him when he was in his 60s. And I'll never forget the day that I walked up to Central United Methodist Church on the corner of 3rd and Howard, when he was naked from the waist up with rope around his body, because someone in the church had said he couldn't work in the church anymore. T. James had found Christ later in life. T. James knew himself to be who he was, knew what his demons were, knew who to avoid, but also knew the love of Jesus Christ. He got married at Central United Methodist Church. But because the community couldn't know how to love him, the work that he was our janitor. He was our janitor. And the work he did of caring for God's church brought him peace. But because of his demons, he couldn't take direction from multiple people. He only needed one. And that day when he was walking around the church, and I stopped him and I said, "What's wrong, T. James?" And he said, "Today is not a day that you need to be near me." He always knew when to tell people, "This is not a day to be around me. I can be my worst here." But he also could be his best, because he wasn't who he was as that man in prison. Because he had been released, he had been redeemed. And he struggled daily with the demons that had once controlled his life, but no longer controlled them, but were still part of his story. The difficulty with the community is they continued to see him as the child molester and not as the redeemed. The Gerasene demonic had the ability to share his story. Always the question of the community: did they continue to see him as the demonic man, or did they see him redeemed? So my question for us, church, this morning is, when we bring into our body broken people and we watch their lives slowly be restored, we know they'll stumble and fall, because that's, we're human, we stumble and fall, but are we there to help them back up and to remind them that they are not what they used to be. They are who God is creating them to be. And it's just a work in progress. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.